Hallelujah.
While you remain standing, pick up your Bible and let's pick a text and do some Bible studies to and see reason to be closer to the cross, closer to the Lord today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul made a statement there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning the communion and how we eat. Some people eat the communion without knowing the implication of what they are doing. And verse 28 and verse 29, he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But the statement I'm going is in verse 29, where he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. And the Lord's body is in chapter 12 and verse 12. Apostle Paul make us to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. He said, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members yet, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble and necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon this we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracle, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Verse 31 again. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, despite that, this is the purpose of this message this morning. I am here to show you a more excellent way of using that gift and operating in the body of Christ. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. We are continuing a look at the operation of the gifts, because it is necessary. We're going to read scriptures, or at least note them down, so that you you go again and meditate, sometimes you even go deeper in understanding than even the preacher presenting it to you. And so it's important, if the body of Christ is made up of gifts, if your position in the body of Christ is determined by the gift you have, it is very important that we take these teachings carefully and in as much detail as possible, so that you will know how to function in the body. And this is important because this is the restoration ministry. It's nothing I will teach you that is not in the Bible. It is in the Bible, yet the church is the way it is today worldwide. The way the churches are run today, the way even ministries are established today, it is certainly a reflection of their understanding of the body of Christ. The way we even relate with one another, we the gifted ones, we the ministers, is a reflection of our understanding of what the body of Christ is. The way the church has been torn apart into denominational groups is a reflection of the understanding of what the body of Christ is. Churches fighting one another is a reflection of what understanding of their understanding of the body of Christ. Gifted brother, gifted sister, envying another brother, another sister, operating gift, is a reflection of our understanding of the body of Christ. And it's so important, in our previous study, we tried to bring it out, that God is not an entertainer. When the Bible says, every man shall give account of himself. And we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that we shall all face the judgment seat of Christ. And we have tried to scripturally show every one of us that it's not just about the rapture. I'm going in the rapture, I'm going in the rapture, I'm going in. The preparation for the rapture includes preparation for the position you will take after you have gone in the rapture. Because for 7 years, what will we be doing there for those 7 years? We will be getting ourselves prepared by Christ himself to come and rule the earth here with him. And we have seen in the parable of the talents that he gave us gifts, and the purpose of the gift, he said, occupy till I come. And when he comes, he's going to ask us what we did with the gift he gave us. It's important that we take this scripture so that everybody knows where you belong. And I've tried to let you know that the best thing that can happen to you in your calling, in your ministry as a believer, and remember, I told you that every believer has a call. Every believer. That is why I read the whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from that verse 12 there. To let you understand that no member is redundant. Every one of us, when you are baptized into the body of Christ, you are coming in there as a particular member with something to supply to the body. And I'm telling you this thing, that when God gives you, calls you, and gives you that grace, he supplies sufficient grace for that. He supplies sufficient grace. And as long as you remain in your calling, as long as you remain where God has placed you, you will operate your calling with ease. When Christ said, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail, you will now understand. He backs you up. When you are in the ministry, you see yourself struggling. It is for either of two reasons. It is either you yourself, you are not in God's perfect will. Where you are is not where you are supposed to be. That's why you are struggling. Or you are where you are supposed to be, but you are not doing it according, you know, to God's expectation. But if you are not even yielding yourself for God to use you, you are not listening to Him, you want to do it your own way. That is, you are doing it your own way. Though you are where He says you should be, but you are doing it your own way, you will have problem. I'm saying this to establish somebody. Because I'm aware that there are people that have made up their mind. No matter what you're advising them, you're wasting your time. Even God Himself recognizes this. That's why in the book of Ezekiel, He told Ezekiel, if anybody comes to you to inquire of me with the idol, I said, give it to him, because he doesn't want to waste time. You have already made up your mind. But you don't want to fulfill all righteousness, that's why you are coming for counseling. We have stated this here for everybody that should know what you are supposed to do, the part you are supposed to play in the body of Christ. And that is why I am not rushing this message. It's so important because it is part of my duty. It is the perfecting of the saints' ministry. And that's exactly what I'm doing. He said, God Himself has placed everybody and tampered everybody Himself in the body in such a way that there will be no schism in the body of Christ. So that there will be no fight, there will be no quarrel. We will flow together because I will be complimentary to you, you will be complimentary to me. But because you are complimentary to me, when God is blessing you, you are rejoicing. I am also rejoicing because there will be a spillover to me. Hallelujah. When you are my brother and then you are made a governor, you are given an appointment, the whole family rejoices. Because you know there's going to be a spillover to you. You are not just rejoicing because it is your brother, but it's because you know you are going to benefit from it. Hallelujah. And everybody in the family cannot be in that position. And so what we do is, what can I do to also make my brother better? Let him function better. And one of the things I can do for my brother, so that they will not sack him in the office they gave him. Because as long as he's there, I will enjoy it. So I'll be praying for him. And when he is stepped down, he's dismissed, the reproach is also on me. I will also suffer the thing I was enjoying as a result of where he is. I will also lose it. I will also, you know, I will not be there. I will not enjoy it again. And so if we get this understanding, the ministry will flow. The ministry will flow. And please, when I'm speaking like this, I am speaking to you as the individual. Face yourself first before you begin to look at another one. When everyone finds his position, the flow will be natural. Praise the Lord. And that is why we're taking our time to look at this operation of the gifts so that you can supply effectively to the body of Christ. If the body of Christ is sick, it is because people have not taken their position seriously. We learn from even the secular world. We learn from the secular world. I discover that in the advanced countries, particularly in Europe, in America, in great contrast to what happens particularly here in Nigeria, I discover that anybody that is given a job, this is your job, and this is your job schedule. I discover that they take their jobs seriously. That is one thing I have particularly taken note of. They take their job seriously. And because everyone who has a responsibility takes it seriously, then you have a society that is, you know, organized and things work. In Europe there, once you enter and it is ready, they will call you. Somebody will call you Your document is ready. Your license is ready. Your certificate is ready. And if you don't come, they will remind you again. And if you don't come, somebody will bring you to the address. Because somebody is doing his job. Somebody is doing his job. Praise the Lord. When there is an emergency and you call ambulance, they rush as if it is their papa that is dying. To come and save a soul, somebody is alert, watching in case there is an emergency. But in this part of the world, when you call them, where you say you're there? Praise the Lord. Where you say you day? For first time, you know, she said truck block road everywhere there. Hallelujah. Now that is the system that we have. You cannot dodge your tax. You can't, because there is somebody, once you enter the system, there is somebody that is assigned for you. Every couple you make is aware of it. They are everything, it is corruption here. What is the effect? The country is not progressing. What is the effect? The country is in confusion. Now, I am not a politician. I am using that to make you understand the estate of the church today. That the same thing that is happening in the secular world in this country, that is the same thing that is happening in the body of Christ. If you will stand in your position that God has put to you, the church will be better than what it is today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But something has invaded the church. The same thing that invaded the African countries, because only in Africa this nonsense happens. The same spirit has invaded the church. The same spirit has invaded the church. What is the spirit? It's the spirit of corruption. The only reason, hallelujah, I was telling somebody, I said, when I want to pray for somebody, maybe you are having an expectation. I said, when you want to kill me, then tell me, Pastor, if I get this thing, after you pray, this is what I will do for the church. I said, when you do that, you have killed me. Because any time I say, in Jesus' name, I want to pray for you, I am praying because you made a promise. So I will not be able to pray again. Because I will see myself, you are not praying as a ministerial duty. You are praying for the inducement. So when you want to say, Pastor, if I would say, excuse me, please, keep it between you and your God. I'm not praying for you because you're making money. And people, because the corruption is so much, until Pastor will not pray for you, until he knows there's something he will get from it. Of course, the Bible says he that plows, plows in hope. But we must balance it. So this is why it is important for pastors that have caught a vision of what the ministry should look like. This type of message we are given now, this topic we are taking, should be a major topic of focus for the perfecting of the saints. We are doing it wrong. Therefore, we cannot get the right result. We're doing it wrong. We're not using our gifts the way it should be used. Not discerning the Lord's body. And I pray that God, knowing my motive for these teachings, will fulfill my joy as I begin to see changes in the body of Christ. Because I'm not talking to only you. So many other people will come across this message. Some are listening now. And they will see a need to serve God appropriately. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will try to look at the purpose of the gift. The purpose, like we spoke before, he said, occupy till I come. We have spoken on that. And secondly, to profit with it. We've seen occupy till you come in Luke chapter 19, from verse 11 to verse 27. Just a recap of that. And then the same scripture, he said, it is to profit with it. That's why he gave the talent, the parable of the talents. Praise the Lord. And we also looked at what the gifts are. What gifts are for. Let's continue with it. What are the gifts given for? We continue with it. The same thing I say, what is the purpose? But what are they given for? What does the scripture say? First, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, and then we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Ephesians chapter 4. What did he say the gift are for? Let me read it from verse 11. 11 and verse 12. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That is the leadership gift known as the ascension gifts, the fivefold ministry. If you are a pastor, you are an evangelist, you are an apostle, you are a prophet, you are a teacher, you fall within this category. For the perfecting of the saints, that is the teaching ministry and the pastoral ministry, for the perfection of the saints. For the work of the ministry is evangelical ministry of reconciliation, that is the evangelist. And for the edifying of the body of Christ, and that is the office of the prophets. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now for the body gifts. The body gifts. The nine gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What did he say? Verse 3. He says, but he that prophesieth, that is the edification gifts now, speaketh unto men to achieve what? Three things: edification and exhortation and comfort. Edification and exhortation and comfort. If your gift does not achieve either of these three, then you are operating that gift wrongly. Praise the Lord. When you say comfort, because the Holy Ghost is described as the comforter. Well, all them that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And because there will be a lot of trials and temptations, lot of problems that will surround a true believer, God decided to give us a comforter. The Holy Ghost, one of his duty, one of his ministry, is to comfort us in the midst of our difficulties until we go home. And so Matthew 28, verse 20, this is the way he put it, Matthew 28, and verse 20, he says, after he told us in verse 19, let's read from verse 19 and verse 20. Verse 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then verse 20, teaching those that you will send the gospel, they will believe, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he assured us, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What a blessed assurance that you know that as you are into the ministry, in whatever capacity, he has assured you that he is with you till the day he calls you home. That is to comfort you. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? He's a comforter. He is the comforter. My emphasis is that he is a comforter. He said, whom the Father will send in my name. He does something. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26. I have a reason for emphasizing these scriptures. It's a Bible study. He said, but when the Comforter is come, the Holy Ghost is the Comforter, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And finally, read it, chapter 14 again, verse 16, 17, 18. Praise the Lord. It's necessary, you know. And I will pray the Father, he assured us, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, he is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Spirit of Christ is Christ in you. Praise the Lord. Now, why I emphasize this is that if therefore you have this gift, and it's a gift of the Holy Ghost, you are actually operating like it's supposed to be Christ in you operating it. And he comforts us through these gifts. It's not some feeling inside of you. It's more than some feeling inside of you. It is him speaking to you. And that is why he places these gifts in our midst. If you are sick, and somebody with the gift of healing prays for you, praise God. It is for edification. It is to comfort you. You are in pains. Use that gift and remove that pain from that brother, from that sister that is sick. Hallelujah. And you will operate it like Christ will operate it. If it is Christ that is in you, that is operating through you. He is interested in the comfort of the believers. And so, when you come and you say you have a gift, and the way you are operating that gift, it creates problem. More problem. Marriage situation comes in. More problem when they meet you. Hallelujah. A sister I was told yesterday left this church. And what is the reason for leaving the church? It's because it came a brother in the church here was was interested in marrying her and decided him and the brother let them go and meet a particular brother, a gifted brother, for prayers. And the gifted brother told the sister, please give me a chance. Let me talk to this man first. I'll call you later. See, brother, do you know enough about that girl? Did she tell you she get picking before? Did she tell you the kind of life where she don't live before? Did she tell you this? And the man is saying, I know about the Pekino, but I don't know about these other ones. Yeah. Now, will that person say he's a gifted brother? Is that what Christ will do in a situation like that? When you have such characters in the church, that is why it's necessary, and the person may be doing this, thinking that he wants to help the brother. And then you will come and sit down together with that sister and break bread and drink from the same cup and take the same bread. We are one. How are you one now? You don't know the effect of what you are doing. Praise the Lord. There are pastors that come to a brother and sister will come and confide this in them. Confide. Because I believe this is a man of God. And before you know what, everybody has had it in the church. So how have you helped that sister? How have you helped that brother? He did very abominable things. I'm saying this thing confidently, that it is against ministerial ethics. Ministry work is not done like that. The position we as ministers occupy gives us privilege of hearing things that sometimes for the whole 1 week, you are not yourself when you hear it. Can a person degenerate like this, even as a pastor, happening among brothers and sisters? And yet you are careful again how to take action. The church is a mixed multitude. All manner of people are around. And yet, when they are manifesting the attributes of pairs, the Bible says, leave them to grow. Amen. Leave them to grow. He said, you should not go and uproot them. So it's not easy. We should not just quickly cast people out of fellowship. You have to be careful. But we also learn to balance it, because the same Apostle Paul again told us that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So you see, there are some that you will cast out. And there are some that you will counsel. And there are some, hallelujah, that there's just nothing you do. You just stay, they look, they cry, they look and they cry. Because you hear things. There are people that you have high regards for their spirituality. But when you hear certain things, your heart will be so broken. Then you say, so, who am I to trust? Who am I to believe? But that is what comes with the ministry. And it's not for us. You can go and ask my wife. There are things that happen here she will never know. If for anything I have to tell her at all, she will never know who the brother is or who the sister is. Because I am also guided by a principle as a leader. That when you disclose any information, it is guided by the principle of the need to know. What am I telling you? Do you need to know it? What I am telling you, do you need to know it? If you don't need to know it, then why am I telling you? And why do you need to know it? And if you cannot answer these questions, then I keep my silence. Why should my wife know that brother this and sister this committed fornication? Why should she know? Why should she know? Does she need to know? If she doesn't need to know, then why am I telling her? If I tell her, then I am gossiping. And a man of God must not gossip. A gossiper. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for comfort, whatever you do must comfort the person that is receiving it. And there is no pride in it. God, the Bible tells us the spirit of the prophet, that this prophet here is talking of whosoever it is that is receiving anything from God concerning anybody. Because anytime we say give the people, people tend to look at the altar and look at those who are holding microphone. I don't need this altar to talk to them. We already have our place where we have our meetings regularly and we correct ourselves. The people I'm talking to are the people that are sitting down now listening to me and any other person that may be listening to me from our broadcast. For I am talking to the whole body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You are not a machine that is on and off by a remote control. When God gives you a revelation, He has also given you wisdom to know how to deliver the revelation. So you must look for wisdom to achieve the purpose of the revelation. And God does not entertain us through revelations. If God revealed to you that this brother is a homosexual, is He telling you so that you will go and broadcast to people that brother is a homosexual? No! In fact, I reveal it to you, it is evidence that that homosexual is a seed of God. So He's telling you this so that you can help that brother out of it. And or so that you will mark him and have the wisdom to deal with a criminal in your midst, a devil in your midst. You will know how to handle it. Anytime you see me hammering some certain things, I'm addressing the spirit so that you know that you have that spirit. Instead, you begin to think, I know, say so they go tell pastor be that. They go tell him be that. This is where I talk. They don't tell him. They don't tell him. If they tell him na lie, if they tell him na lie, that is the posture of an unrepentant sinner. When you are supposed to break down and say, this could be God talking to me. Because the word of God is a discerner of the intents of the heart. I could be preaching now, and you alone may be the reason for that sermon. You have to repent. That's the purpose of sermons. For you to repent and shaping up your life. The gift is to comfort us. And it is for edification. So we are edified. So we are restored. So we are brought back in line again. We are in tune again. Because we are confused before. Now understanding has come. I didn't know why. I am always having this dream. This revelation this brother gave me now has made it clear. I didn't know why I am unable to do this. Why I am unable to do this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Discerning the Lord's body. Understanding the Lord's body. The purpose of ministry. We are supplying something to one another. We are supplying something to one another for the betterment of the recipient. Not for the destruction of the recipient. No, it's for the betterment of the recipient. That is why God has given you that gift. Why God give you that gift? Amen. Praise the Lord. I say, anytime I see a challenging case before my brother become my sister, I don't see it as your challenge. I see it as my challenge. My challenge. For the grace of God, and I know how to challenge God, I'll tell the Lord, is it not because of this case? You gave me this grace? You gave me this gift? Now, confirm it. Now, confirm it. During the night vigil, when a sister came, had serious cancer. I had two serious cases I handled during the vigil, last Friday vigil. Cancer, the two lungs. Cancer here, a growth inside, and they came with the medical report, lung cancer, another one somewhere, the lumps, like that. And she gave me the report. When I saw it, I was looking at, hallelujah, a challenge. I don't know how it's my first time of seeing her. She only sent message to me. I told her to come. And I'm not sure she's even a member of this church. She's a member? Okay. Okay, I don't know. I see it as a challenge. And I told her, we'll continue to pray for you until this thing goes. You know there's no cure for that. The second one was, went for a medical checkup and they say the heart problem in the heart. Amen. Went, I saw the report. Let's come to the altar. I saw it as a challenge. And that sister, if you are listening to me now, the second one with the heart problem went with the report of a cardiologist. I mean, to meet a cardiologist. And the cardiologist saw it and used all the instruments and tested after the vigil and told her, you have no heart problem. Everything is normal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, everything is normal. And looked at it. He said, and this laboratory is a very good lab that did this test. But how come all these things were seen and you, everything we're testing now, everything in your heart is normal? How come now? I don't understand. And she said, look at my face. You can see I have not slept. I had vigil all night and my pastor prayed with me with this report at the altar. And he said, which church? He said, Brother Assembly. He said, oh, Pastor Moses, I know that church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, and I'm not saying that if you have heart problem, come to me. Or if you have cancer, come to me. I didn't say that. Amen. I'm not advertising myself. I'm advertising Jesus. Was I that did it? It was Christ in me that did it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm saying this. Amen. For that is what the gift is. And why I'm saying this, for that sister to hear, two of you were presented at the altar the same night. If this one is gone, I believe your own two must go. Your own two is gone. But that is what the gift is for. That is what the grace of God is for. Praise the Lord. When Prophet Sunday told me, somebody collapsed. He said he's a member of his group. And he rushed to the hospital. They would not even allow him going. And then he was there. He forced himself and prayed until the person came back to life. Praise the Lord. And immediately after vigil, he rushed again to the hospital to see the person. Now, this is how it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. You don't rush only because the person normally gives you offering. The person buys you suit and shoe. Therefore, you pursue and go. The one that does not have money, he can go and die. You are not operating by the Spirit of Christ, or you are operating that gift wrongly. Praise the Lord. It is for edification. And always remember, praise the Lord, hallelujah, how to operate this gift. Operate it knowing that we have different operations. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, 5, and 6. Now, there are diversities. Different gifts. Diversities of gifts. But it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Spirit. And verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Whatever gift you have, listen very well, there are diversities, that's why I'm going. Diversities of gifts. Therefore, if there are diversities of gifts, then you are unique in the way God uses you. You are unique yourself. Don't try to operate your gift like another brother and sister that has the same gift is operating. Maybe he started operating the gift before you. And you think therefore anybody that operates that gift, that is how they operate it. No! Praise the Lord. Because before you give prophecy, you fall, you see the sister will fall down and scatter everywhere they are holding him. Thus said the Lord. They start with so you too, before you give, you will start with now tongue you they speak. I mean you just they talk waiting, you see other people they talk. While his own may be here, thus said the Lord. That is how his own may be operating. Your own may be just my people. Hear the word of the Lord. By this time this year, all the single sisters shall be married. Hallelujah. And you don't have to fall. Don't force yourself to break our chair. You enjoy yourself for nothing. Hallelujah. You are seeking for notice so that they will say you are gifted. If God has a message for us through you, there's nothing we will do. We must hear it. Praise the Lord. And you may not even give it openly, thus said the Lord. He may be talking to you. You have the ability, you are calm enough to carry barrel and paper and write it. You are operating the same gift. Write it and give the coordinator. I just received this message. Please pass it to the pastor. Pure and simple, you are operating the gift. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because another prophet, before he enters spirit, he will begin to sing, Ekweme, Ekweme, to enter spirit. Praise the Lord. You too, you go call a microphone. Because you meet that sister, the professor before you. I have a message, pastor. You collect microphone. Praise the Lord. And then you two begin to raise a song. That is our own way of entering the spirit. Praise the Lord. Another one, maybe before he give the message, he will give a prayer point. And you two, you will collect your own. Every time, imitation, 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 imitation. Are you a Chinese? With all due respect to the brother of Christ in China. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. You are unique. Always remember, the manifestation is the confirmation. Hallelujah. The manifestation is the confirmation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.